superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Chargers!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Justin Herbert is so damn good.
Earlier on the show, columnist for The Athletic, Jeff Duncan, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up from Paramount's Love and Monsters, actor Dylan O'Brien, Pittsburgh Steelers running back James Conner, plus unofficial Lakers PR executive, actor O'Shea Jackson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We will have some of your phone calls. We'll have some time, even though we have a jam-packed third hour. We've already spoken to Jeff Duncan of The Athletic about what's going on with the Saints and Michael Thomas and Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. We have James Conner of the Pittsburgh Steelers joining us in the middle of this hour. O'Shea Jackson Jr., who has been having quite a run on Twitter to celebrate his Lakers winning the championship. We had to give him 2 days to cool off. I don't think if we had him on Monday's show, it would have been appropriate.
It would have been very hot.
But I think he's going to show up with the verbal equivalent of an all caps rant. That'll be on hour number three. Our poll question, Chris, what does it stand at the top of our third hour right now?
Yes, we were wondering, with Le'Veon Bell release yesterday, where might he land? Where might he end up? Texans, Bears, Chargers, Patriots. You guys all think he's going to New England, 48%, 29% Bears, 13% Chargers, 10% Texans, where that's where we think he should go.
Well, we'll see. As you know, I started the show, me being born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island, loving the Jets since the day I was born, with Le'Veon Bell being released after just 17 games. He didn't even get 1,000 yards in those 17 games and just being given up for nothing. As Sam Darnold won't make a second consecutive start because he got beaten up by the Broncos. And there's really no light right now at the end of the tunnel. If the light might be Trevor Lawrence, but one light that definitely is not at the end of the tunnel, but right here, is, you know, we Jets fans have to band together. We have to hug each other to get through this. And joining me right now back here on the Rich Eisen Show is a Jet and Met fan whose new movie, Love and Monsters, is available on premium video on demand and for digital purchase this very Friday. Love and Monsters is about actually being a Jet fan. Isn't that right, Dylan O'Brien? Is that a correct fact?
Oh, my God. Am I wrong? Ever, bro.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong in that setup?
Yeah, that's like how I approached it, you know.
Yes.
Whenever I talk to my director, like, you know, acting coach on set, I think their eyes would gloss over a bit because they wouldn't know what I was saying. But that's kind of how I approach every role. That's where I get the trauma. That's where I dig deep.
That's where you dig deep about the monster apocalypse that you're dealing with as your character in this film. As you just think about everything. On the other side of the line of scrimmage. Isn't that the way?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about the movie at all, by the way. We got to get into it. We got to get into some stuff. We're already 3 minutes down.
Oh, Dylan O'Brien. How you been, man? You good? Life's good?
I've been good, sir. How are you?
It's been too long since you've been on this program. I'm doing fine. I am doing fine. So you're born and raised in Manhattan? Is that the drill?
No. I was born I was born in the city. I grew up in Union, Springfield, Union County, New Jersey.
Okay.
And then I'm an L.A. hybrid. I moved out to L.A. when I was 12, but never lost my Mets Jets fan. And so many people, like, have always said to me out west or just in general at all, like, why, you know, why don't you just, like, convert or something? And then I just, like, immediately sort of write them off as even understanding like what being a fan is, because it just does, that doesn't, that's not like an op, that just doesn't make sense in my blood. You know what I mean?
Yes, it does.
But yeah. And then, you know, classically enough, I just like chose this. It's like masochistic in a way. Again, it's very like actory. Like I just choose to be miserable, I guess. but it's like, I'm also not, that's the thing though too, is like, I talk about a lot, like I kind of like am grateful for the fact that I grew up like, not a Yankees fan or a Dodgers fan, you know what I mean? Like, always, like, used to winning. Like, I have this kind of appreciation and, like, love for the sport that, like, sometimes I don't see in some friends, you know, or in a lot of, like, fans who I see, like, are just, like, used to kind of winning every year. Like, you're really, like, challenged to kind of dig and find, like, a love for the sport and have it not be just fully surrounded by chasing championships, you know what I mean?
No, I know. And whenever you had to go to a dark place in the Maze Runner series or, you know, Teen Wolf and on MTV, Dylan O'Brien, I knew that you were just, you were suffering for your craft. You were suffering for your craft.
You could see what was really behind those eyes.
Exactly. Yeah. You were thinking of Ray Lucas. You were thinking of Rich Kotite. Yeah. You were thinking of, I guess, what would you say? Batman sticking around one inning too long in the World Series against the Royals, you know?
I was there. I was supporting, you know, when Harvey charged out, you know, I was one of the, whatever it was, 55,000.
Made sense.
Crazy.
It made sense. It really did make sense at the time. I know.
Absolutely.
But I do see, we do have we did notice you threw out a first pitch, Dylan. Dylan O'Brien here.
Did I do that since talking to you last?
I do believe so. Nothing I've ever done is more nerve-wracking than throwing out a first pitch. I don't know, I haven't seen the video of it, but the way you do have the grip on the baseball, it looks like you're bringing the heat. It looks like you've got like either a split finger or a four-seamer that's coming. How did it work out for you, that first pitch for the Mets?
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
I'll touch on two things.
Sure.
first of all, like, it's definitely the most nerve-wracking thing. I think the only reason that it wasn't the most nerve-wracking thing is because there was about 10,000 people there, and it was like a September 5th game where we were out of it, you know? So it was like a good, you know, it was like my spring training. But still, like, just when, you just get that one shot, you know, it doesn't matter, like, how much you warm up in the cage, you know, which I was getting to do. And I was, like, I was going into it going, you know, I want to throw this thing as hard as I can.
Sure.
But that's also such a risk.
Of course.
Like, but, like, you know, it's not worth it to, you know, like, lollygag it in there. I really wanted to huck it. And I did kind of, like, I don't know. Hopefully I'm going to do it again someday and I'll just like go out there and huck it. But I did kind of just like hold back a little bit. I just, when the moment came down to it, anyway, you know, my sneakers on the mound are really slippery. Like I couldn't push off, you know, I couldn't get my extension.
The sun was in your eyes. Is the sun in your eyes too? Cause, you know, I'm with you though. I was so freaking out. Cause again, if you try to throw it too hard, you might hold on to it too long. And that's when you dirt it. You don't want that. But
I was pretty confident that I could ride it high. I knew I wasn't going to dirt it, and that's what everyone's always trying to, like, get in your head.
Right.
Throughout, like, you know, that's the other thing, too, that people don't realize is you're spending, like, 2 hours before the game walking around, and everyone just saying to you, like, don't f*** up. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Holy, oh, my God. I'm sorry.
That was the dark place, Dylan. That was the dark place. That was it.
You know what's so funny about that, too? is I just, right before this, too, like, my publicist gave me a text and was like, hey,
don't curse.
And I was like, all right, come on. Like, you know, like, you really got to tell
me.
Please,
it's not your first rodeo. No, I know. These things happen.
I still did it.
Well, you just threw a strike, just like you did with that first pitch, Dylan O'Brien.
Incredible.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so then let's get into this, Dylan. Do you think the Jets should tank and get Trevor Lawrence and tell Sam Darnold, you're awesome. We love you so much. We have to set you free. Yeah. Like, literally, this is because the Jets have already done a good part of the hard work at 0-5. Yeah. And Darnold is banged up, and they've let Le'Veon Bell go, which is exactly the wrong person to let. I know that there might be stuff crazy going on behind the scenes, but he's talented enough to maybe help Sam Darnold out here a little bit. So what is your 2 cents on the subject?
Yeah, my 2 cents, as quick as I possibly can, is, I mean, look, it's not that I think I got some faith left in Sam somewhere else, you know. I think that, like, you know, we need a whole system reset, you know, like – none of these guys are Douglas's guys. Like, you know, he hasn't had the chance to build the team he wants. We have picks. We have cap space. You know, I don't think we're going to see Gase obviously last beyond this year, if next week, you know. And it's like it's just going to be a teardown. But we've got some things in place, you know. I think the Jamal move was the right move. I mean, look, it's like, you know, it's hilarious how my cousin chat was like going off the other day. I've got two cousins who are big Giants fans. And we were like basically like competing for like, you know, like who was like the worst team, you know, to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
And we're just like, you know, you would have thought it was so funny because we were like bragging about like how bad each of our teams were, basically like the opposite it should be. Like, I was like, you guys don't understand. We got something special this year, you know, that like that number one pick's ours. But yeah, I just think, I think it'll be interesting. I think if you get the number one pick, how can you not go with Trevor Lawrence,
right?
You know,
yeah.
You know, and but it's all going to depend on, like, you know, when the season ends, you know, we reset the system and have a, you know, we're going to get a new head coach, and then it's going to have to be his guy as well as Douglas's guy. And, you know, so we'll see if it's Lawrence, and then we just build around that, and we got the picks to do it and the cap space. So, you know, it's, again, this is how you operate as a Jets fan you're a Jets fan.
No, I know. Dylan O'Brien here on the Rich Eisen Show. And it's also, you know, it sounds like you're surrounded by monsters in a dystopian moment, all alone with nobody around, Dylan. And, oh, my gosh, that's actually what Love and Monsters is about. Would you not say, Dylan?
Yeah, man, it's true. Again, this is how I pick my projects, you know.
And we see actually a photograph of a dog on top of you. That does in a way look like a member of the Denver Broncos on top of Sam Darnold from just a couple of Thursdays ago. I'll be very honest with you.
Yeah. I think like what we don't realize is Sam runs around about, you know, 500 yards a game. If we're just talking laterally and like in circles, you know.
Man, I would so much wish that we just could talk about the Jets being dominant in the division and you and I could just be like high-fiving through the phone right here. But that's just not the way of the world. So I guess let's talk about this film that is, again, available on premium video on demand and digital purchase this Friday. And what, you know, you have such a rabid fan base that loves everything you do, Dylan. Your social media is through the roof. So what can fans expect from you and of you and from you in this movie?
Oh, man. I guess, like, it's really sweet. You know, it's a really, like, good-natured movie, which I think, like, it's kind of it's funny how it unfolded and it's coming out now amidst all this. I think it's, you know, I think we sort of, I know I have, like, I've just sort of, like, started to appreciate really, like, you know, I don't want to subvert anything. I don't want to, like, be surprised or guess or watch any, like, you know, dark things right now. Like, it's actually kind of nice. I've been kind of, like, enjoying watching, like, really, like, good-natured things lately. It just, like, make me feel good for an hour and a half, you know, and just, like, see some positivity going on. And I think that's the selling point, you know. It's just, like, a really sweet and cute and really original movie too. You know, it's another thing about it that I was really drawn to and proud to, like, you know, try to champion that, you know. It's just like the kind of movie that I don't think we see as much anymore. A little throwback to like the Amblin kind of 80s sort of like singular narrative type thing, you know.
You're referring to the Spielbergian type of film where you're looking for love and there's a dog involved, and well, you're looking for your high school sweetheart.
Exactly.
There's a dog involved. There might, you know, there are some monsters, but it's just a fun movie when it all comes down to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got like a very Pixar-y energy. Like it could have very easily been like a Pixar movie that we did like live action for a lot less money. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. At Dylan O'Brien on Twitter, and greatly appreciate the call. And in the time, what are you playing fantasy as well? Is at least that being a better part of your life, football life, than just Jets or what?
It's going great. The fantasy's going great. I got two squads this year. The boys are eating. I guess the highlight is Metcalf on both teams. He was my guy who I was.
You and I, Dylan, look at us, man. Chris Brockman, my colleague across the way, was drafting in a charity league that I could not draft. He's our general manager. Tell him the one player I said we must come home with.
DK Metcalf.
Yes, and I've got him in my other league, too. Oh, he is a delight.
Monster.
He's a delight.
He's a monster. Such a monster. So that's been I feel like it always surrounds, like, one pick. If you can, like, really, like, hit on that guy, like, a little lower. I mean, I reached for him a bit, you know, but, like, he's just been pumping, so it's great.
Oh, he's amazing. So when you say the boys are eating, is that the name of the fantasy team, or that you're just describing how well your team is doing?
What was it I said?
No, you said the boys are eating, and I'm wondering if that was
not my name. No, okay. I can't. My names are far too inappropriate to say.
Are you serious? Like your publicist would not want you to say your name, your team names on this.
She's probably texting me right now. they're eating points every week. A lot of points.
They're eating W's, just like Jameis Winston did back in the day. You got to eat a W.
Oh, man, I don't like that. I really did not like that.
When he's eating W's back then? Oh,
yeah,
man.
I wasn't a fan.
Oh, buddy. Okay, anybody that we know that's in your league? You want to drop any names? Anybody? Or just buddies of yours, friends of yours?
No, buddies. Yeah, just buddies of mine.
Okay. Just a regular guy struck it big. Dylan O'Brien from New York. Okay, bud, thanks for the call. Let's do this again. Let's not go several years in between. And good luck on your fantasy. Let's do it more often. You take care of yourself, Dylan.
Pleasure, Rich. You too.
Right back at you. That's Dylan O'Brien, at Dylan O'Brien on Twitter. Is he on Instagram, too, or is he not on is he on the gram?
There's a fan.
He's not on the gram, huh?
There's 1.3 million
for the people, fan.
And it's a fan account. Fans run that account.
So to the people who run that account and people who are tuned in right now, because Dylan O'Brien appeared on the Rich Eisen Show, it's at Rich Eisen Show when you want to tag us. Same on Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show. James Conner is still worthy of your attention. He's about to show up here on the program. Patriots are not going to get Le'Veon Bell.
I don't think so.
I don't think they're doing that.
I don't think so.
No way. Nah. I think it makes sense for the Texans. I think it really does.
I do, too. A lot of push on Twitter, though, for the Cardinals.
Why? Why? Kenyon Drake is dynamite.
Not sold on the Drake. Not loving the Drake.
I think
they pass a lot. Le'Veon's a good pass catcher, obviously.
So you're going to tell Kenyon Drake... You just had a couple of down weeks.
I don't know.
I'm
just saying, a lot of love for Le'Veon with the Cardinals on Twitter today.
I don't know. By the way, how about that Monday night game coming up? Arizona at Dallas. The Emmett Bowl, right? But
the Emmett Bowl.
Arizona at Kyler Murray back in Big 12 country. Taking on the Dallas Cowboys. And Andy Dalton and one Andrew Dalton.
One of the greatest Texas quarterbacks of all time, TCU.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. That's going to be a fun Monday game after the Chiefs and Bills.
After the Monday night matinee.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, again, I don't know the last time the Steelers and Browns face each other with both at least three games over 500. But James Conner is going to be part of that game coming up this week and next on this show. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, people, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to Geico and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Shop local with Visa to help support your community. Because where you shop matters. Visa. Everywhere you want to be. NBC Sports on Peacock, streaming right now. Every day, noon Eastern Time. Brother from Another with Michael Holly and Michael Smith coming right up after us. And then Florio finishes up the day that he starts before handing things off to Dan. And then we take it from there. And it goes on and on and on. And we love being here on NBC Sports on Peacock. So that's good times. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. The phone call of James Conner is slated to come in at any moment in time. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is ready to go. I texted him, friendly reminder.
Oh, nice.
Friendly reminder that we're calling you in about 40 minutes' time. He responded with a text.
All caps?
No. His text was, I'll put on my Kobe's. I'll put on my Kobe's. Lakers are back, baby.
Wow.
I remember what it's like when my team would win.
And we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and now the radio network has rejoined us right here on Peacock. So the SEC has canceled Florida and LSU.
Postponed.
There it is. Makes sense, man. Yeah. Now, look, game is tentatively rescheduled for December 12th. Makes sense. It is smart. Yep. It is the way to go. I'm glad they did it. It just, to me, shows again how absurd it is for Dan Mullen, the head coach of a University of Florida program, to come out and say what he said after the game of Texas A&M. They've got fans more than we do, and we should fill it up now that we're allowed to. And then his 19 of his players test positive. It just, you need to take it day by day, everybody. And I've pointed out that there is a disconnect, certainly from football fans, where COVID and football in the NFL, one person tests positive, you're wringing your hands. In college football, people just like, let's let the good times roll. Smart. Send everyone back to their corners. Let's get these kids healthy. I don't know how the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to do it. I don't know how everybody's going to get through this season. But let's just do it healthy and do it as smart as possible.
You're here.
Makes sense to postpone that game. We're waiting for James Conner. He's either in some sort of a meeting or whatever, so we'll get to him shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the meantime, let's go to, is that Cone or Coney in San Antonio, Texas? How do you pronounce your name, sir? You're on. Cone? You there, Coney? All right, put either way, he's now on hold. The Los Angeles Dodgers are in deep trouble. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
You're our resident Atlanta Braves expert, Chris.
By default.
No, I mean, seriously, you watch way more Atlanta Braves baseball than any of us here by a wide margin.
Sure, wide margin.
But
I would say
Ian Anderson still hasn't given up any runs, but he couldn't even go the maximum five yesterday.
He had a high pitch count. He walked a bunch of guys yesterday, but so they only had him go four. I think the Braves are rocking and rolling. The post game yesterday, Frank Thomas and Alex Rodriguez tried to say that the Dodgers now have the momentum going into game three because they were able to score some runs in the eighth and ninth innings. They're still down 2-0.
I don't know. These are Hall of Famers that would know how momentum affects a clubhouse. You know, I
it was very confusing to hear that after the game yesterday.
Well, again, everybody wants more of a horse race, I guess.
One concerning stat that I
don't think
they're
going to say something just because Fox executives are on their hands and knees that the Dodgers play.
The one thing
I
saw concerning from Jason Stark yesterday, teams that fall behind 0-2 in the 28-3. So the 28-3 thing with Atlanta sports.
Yeah, like, when you're up 2-0 in an LCS and you win 28 out of the last 31 times. But it's a different, these LCSs are now every day and we're not changing and there's no home field advantage.
Yeah, it's tough.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone call still to come. O'Shea Jackson Jr. will be calling in to talk about the actor about his beloved Lakers. But we turn back to the phone lines, one of our favorite guests, and we always appreciate when the Pittsburgh Steelers are performing well because of this guy, James Conner, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, James?
Good, Rich. How you doing, brother?
I am doing fine. We heard so much last night about the Titans and everything that they were going through. and how their schedule got rearranged. They were dealing with COVID. You were just part of all that because the schedule had you playing the Titans at that point in time. How have the last couple of weeks and then your readiness in the game against the Eagles? Walk me through all that, how Tomlin handled that and how your team handled its business there, James.
You know, we kind of, you know, had that bye week just thrown upon us quick, or, you know, earlier than we expected. You know, but we just adjust, and that's, you know, that's one thing that this team is good at. We've just been able to adjust on the go, on the fly, and maximize our time away that we had during that bye week. And so, yeah, we were able to, you know, come out and get a win versus Philadelphia. And so really everything else was just, you know, kind of just noise. We, as long as we just wanted to take care of business, and we did that. And so now we just going from here, but it was, you know, we had that bye week earlier than we expected, but, it's just part of the game, part of this environment that we're in right now.
Yeah, of course. And we in the media, all, you know, we talked about, in regards to that with your team was Mike Tomlin saying, we do not care. That's what he said. Just simply, we do not care. Did you pick that up through the media, or did he actually deliver that in a speech to you guys at some point?
Oh, we knew that that's his attitude, you know, through regardless of what the situation was. You know, he told you to explain that to us, realize that what we're going to have to do, you know, what's happened that bye week already. And at the end of the day, if we want to, you know, be world champs, that's what we're going to have to do is go, you know, make this stretch. And so we accept the challenge. We challenge it head on. And, yeah, we're just going
to
go.
So Big Ben looks to be no worse than wear. He looks the same to me. How does he look to you, James?
Looks like Ben Roethlisberger again. You know, turn that thing around, taking control of our offense, winning games for us. So it's a collective effort, but it's always nice to have our leader back. And, you know, my short time here so far, he looks like Ben.
Now, I know you got banged up in that first game against the Giants, but did you have a moment in that game where he made a play, made a throw, said something in the huddle where you're like, okay, we're good? Did anything happen there?
Kind of just pregame, you know, letting us know, you know, why he came back, and it was for us, you know, it was for to take charge and lead us to a world champion. You know, he already has those. And, you know, so he really just confessed that, you know, he's doing it for us. And so that let us know that, okay, you know, he's already accomplished everything that he wanted to do, but he came back, you know, for us. So I kind of knew right then and there.
No, I know he said that in the media, but did he say that to you, like literally sat everyone down on a Zoom or in person when you were able to be in person to say such a thing, James?
We our pre-game talks, yep.
And that Monday night, that's what he said before you went out on the field?
Yeah, he just let us know that you know, he came back for us, and that he's playing for us this year.
Okay, James Conner.
I think he later would.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then are you getting banged up in that first game? I just looking at your face, you had to be sitting there going, "You've got to be kidding me!" But you know, Tomlin said we'll leave the door open for him. And boy, did you walk back through it, James. Walk me through that, how you dealt with that adversity at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, it was frustrating when it first happened. You know, don't like injuries, obviously, but it was just, you know, slight ankle issue, so I'm just thankful for that. Could have been a lot worse. You know, there's been some tragic injuries around the league this year. So I just wanted to get back and, you know, get back healthy first and foremost, and then just go out there and try to contribute to that run game to – you know, to this team. And so just been trying to put it together, find my groove, and just keep stacking these wins.
So Chase Claypool was on yesterday. He seems like a delightful Canadian human being. He seems like just a great person, James, and that good things should happen to. So what was his performance like from your perspective?
Man, this team knew that Chase was a playmaker from when he first stepped in. Just his size and speed, his strength, and just his willingness to learn and get better and grow. And so very excited for him and just happy that he's on our side. You know, anytime I get 4 touchdowns, you know, it makes things easier. So he's a playmaker, happy he's with us, and I know he's going to make a lot more plays in the future. And he's also a good person as well as football player.
Does he have a nickname?
Mapletron. He go by Mapletron.
He does go by Mapletron because that was part of the conversation. Well, he does go by
he,
that.
I,
No, he don't go by that, but I call him that. He don't really get a choice.
Oh, you call him that? Did you come up with that, or was that just...
No, that's his thing. That's his line. I don't take no credit for that. I think he might have some merchandise, some clothing, a little clothing line that said that. So that's his thing.
So Mapletron it is, because he's big. He's physical, isn't he? He's a big dude. So Mapletron it is. Okay, we'll go with that. James Conner here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then defensively, what do you think of when you watch your guys out there, when you're standing there, or, you know, you're out of the playbook, you're out of looking at, you know, whatever plays on the screens that you need to do, getting ready for your next series. What is it like? What your perspective? You got a good story about watching these guys and how
my defense,
Yes.
I just expect big plays. I expect big plays. I expect, you know, tackle for losses, sacks. You know, every time a QB drops back, man, we got a just great defensive line. I think it's going to be a big play waiting to happen every time I see it. So I got a lot of confidence in those guys. You know, we great defense all around. So, you know, it's fun watching those guys and just the energy they play with.
Do you give T.J. Watt any grief along with Derek that his brother doesn't allow them to talk on Ultimate Tag? You give it as their grief?
No, I don't miss it that much.
Okay. I just don't know if you ever caught that show. All right. I'm trying to plumb the depth here. And just how smart is your middle linebacker, just in terms of intelligence, Devin Bush?
I would say he's pretty smart. Do you think otherwise?
No, I'm a Michigan man. I want to bring that up. I want to sing his praises, and my guys are laughing that I bring up how smart he is because I'm a Michigan man, and I like bringing up the intelligence factor of people who went to that institution of higher learning. James,
not the smartest cat. but on the field, that's my man. Devin Bush making plays. I saw middle linebacker, man. He handles it all well.
He sure does. Hey, before I let you go, when was the last time you spoke to Le'Veon Bell, James Conner?
In the summer training.
Okay. What's your reaction to the news that the Jets have let him go?
I think it's I really don't have a reaction to it. I know that he probably, you know, there's been some communication issues within that organization for maybe some time, and I don't know if he wanted to get out there or what it was, but he said he got more football to give, so I'm excited to watch. I'm a fan of it, so I just hope everything works out, and I like to see him, you know, because he's a talented football player, so I just hope things work out well for him.
So you because the conversation is, you know, people are already having that potentially he will take, you know, he's taken a year off before. Do you think he wants to play? I mean, again, I know you don't speak for him, but again, you do know him better than I would. That's for sure. I've interviewed him just a couple of times. Do you think he wants to continue playing this year? Best you can tell, James?
He said it himself that he had, you know, more to give. And so I know how hard he works. I know, you know, the shape his body's in and all of that. So I know he still, you know, I feel he still wants to play and go out there and make plays and compete.
How much of, again, I know you got it ready for the Cleveland Browns, but did how much of a conversation was there in your locker room today for those who have been around that overlap the eras, if you will, like you do, about this?
I didn't hear nothing about it. We didn't hear nothing about it. Didn't hear nothing about it. It was just that practice.
No kidding. So I'm the first one to bring it up to you today? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it on the TV, but other than that, yeah.
Okay. James Conner here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then that's a grown-ass man that you might be running towards this coming weekend in Myles Garrett. What is the challenge ahead of you in this series that it's been a very long time since the Steelers and Browns have both been at least three games over 500? This is a big one, James.
Yeah, we got a nice challenge ahead. Myles, very talented, you know. It'll be a good matchup. And whichever team plays the best, I think it'll come out on top.
All right. James, you take care of yourself. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Is your family good? Everybody good? Your family? You got to go. I think you got to go. See ya.
No Le'Veon Bell chat at Steelers locker room today.
I don't know. I mean, I just think, like, hey, man, did you see that?
I find that a little hard to believe.
Did you hear a little Tomlin in him?
A little bit.
In the same way that Patriots players sound like their coach.
I'll rain down my judgment and we'll move forward.
It's not high on my damn agenda. What was that about? I forget what that was about.
Because it's high on my damn agenda.
That's right. I'll forget what that was from. There's a lot going on. Could have been Le'Veon. That could have been Le'Veon related.
Yeah, that could have been.
Oh, Martavis Bryant situation.
Oh, that's
was
right.
Was not high in his damn
that's
agenda.
That's right, Martavis Bryant. Was
because
not...
it's high on my damn agenda.
4-1 Cleveland visiting 4-0 Pittsburgh.
I hope you get the answer to that stat because I'm really curious now.
I can send something to NFL Network.
It's got to be a while.
When was the last time the Browns were at least three games over, and so were the Steelers? Obviously, the Steelers have had that rarefied air more often. When was the last time the Browns were three games over at all? It probably was.
The Derek Anderson year?
No. I think they were three over at the zenith of their the Brian Hoyer era. With, why am I blank? I just talk so much for a damn living. The current defensive coordinator, or Pettin, Mike Pettin era. I think the Mike Pettin era was the last time when they beat Andy Dalton on Thursday Night Football. They might have been 6-3. When Mike Pettin and Brian Hoyer put the bang thing on Andy Dalton under the lights in Cincinnati, and I was there, and it was 10 degrees out, and I was pondering life.
In 2014?
Yeah. I believe that happened.
Yeah, that brought them to 6-3.
I'm telling you. I was there.
But they had already wrapped up their season series with Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
then, so
I don't. Right.
It's not like they played the Steelers.
I don't think they've
week.
Been three games over 500 since then.
That was November 6th, 2014.
If I'm not mistaken. They may have already won more games this year than they won with Hugh Jackson as coach.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
That's what happens when you go 0-16 one year. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll have some fun with O'Shea Jackson Jr. Steel yourself, sir. Here we go, to use the Steelers phrase.
Oh, boy.
We're back on Peacock with O'Shea Jackson Jr. Don't miss this. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com. And as always, thank you for supporting the show.
So I'm just fashioning this email to NFL Research.
I think I found this.
Let me do this anyway. When was the last time Browns and Steelers played each other, right?
They were both three games over.
Yes.
I think I found it. I think it's week 16, 1994.
Is that right? Hold on. Three-plus games over.
Yeah.
So this is before they – so the current Browns have never
– it hasn't happened.
Had this matchup. Yeah. So Belichick was the coach the last time this happened?
Yeah, so week 16, 94, they were 10-4 going to play Pittsburgh, who was 11-3.
So Cowher versus Belichick was the last time Steelers and Browns played each other with each three games over.
Yep.
Well, I sent the email to NFL Network Research.
And then they ended up playing in the division round of the playoffs 2 weeks later.
And that was Belichick's last game as the Browns, and that was the Browns' last game. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio network. So the last time, to your knowledge, just looking at both both records, last time the Browns and Steelers played each other when they both were three games over 500 at least, as they will do this week, The last time that happened was 1994.
Yeah, week 16.
Leading to a playoffs where the Steelers bounced the Browns.
In the divisional round.
And then bounced the Browns from existence because the Browns then moved to Baltimore.
They played in the Browns had a year in 95. And then
they did? I thought they moved in 94.
No, they moved after 95.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it looks like it's week 16, 94.
Okay, very good.
We'll see what the NFL says.
So last time we had this gentleman on, it was after the Clippers blew their 3-1 lead over the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And we had him on to talk, to give him his due, because we were talking last time he was before that on at how the Clippers, I thought, had evened up things in this town with the Lakers, and he laughed and scoffed about it, and he wound up being right. I wound up being wrong.
You weren't the only one.
I then, after his last appearance, I texted him to say thank you for coming on. He wrote, "Always have fun, bro. Don't let me win it all, Rich. Twitter just might suspend me if I do." That was the exchange that we had on via text. And there it is. We just popped it up there. I screen grabbed it and put it up there. Now, you looked at the Laker roster. He was not on the roster.
You know,
right?
I checked twice.
Okay.
Not on there.
But the way he did celebrate on Twitter, do we have something right here? Don, go for it. Let's see.
Everybody, it has been 10 long, annoying years. This right here is for all the Laker fans around the world. This one right here is for all the Laker haters around the world. Yep. But most of all, this is for Kobe! Yeah! Yeah! Yes!
The champagne.
We told you! We tried to tell you! We tried to give you a warning! I'm coming for all of y'all.
And then he tagged you, Chris.
Yeah, I'm not sure why, but I'll take it.
Fantastic.
Welcome back to the show, O'Shea Jackson Jr., who last we checked was not suspended from Twitter.
No.
Right, O'Shea?
Oh, but I'm trying, Rich.
Congratulations, sir. Congratulations. You must be so through the roof. Congrats.
Yeah, man. I'm feeling good. I got a little bit of a toothache, though, because I've been brushing my teeth with champagne for the last 3 days. And, you know, it's having some bad after effects, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling like I'm feeling right. You know, I'm feeling right.
Okay. So we learned that Veuve Clicquot has no fluoride in it. So we figured that out. Okay. So we learned that. And then we learned that you doused yourself before you put the goggles on. Are you okay? Did you get any in your eyes with the making of that video?
Oh, it burns. It burns aggressively. When you're victorious, though, you feel no pain. But it's definitely a stinging sensation in the eyes.
Right.
But it's great. It's one of my favorite videos I've ever posted online.
So you've been adding a lot of people in the media, O'Shea. You've been adding a lot of people. What's up with that?
Let me tell you something about Laker fans, Rich. Yep. We are by far the most annoying fan base that you could ever find. And we're sensitive. And we, I promised Laker fans that if we won it all,
yes,
that I would be the tax man. And when you have to pay the tax man, you have to bring the receipts. And I'm going to make sure that everyone who chose that other team, the Clippers, or, you know, Heat in 7, or Blazers in 6, any of those, I want an apology. I just want an apology. That's all we want. I just want to hear them tell me they were wrong. And they're lucky that we're in a pandemic, or I would be on their shows visibly, full-on Maury Povich style. Like my man Brian Windhorst, he told me that the Clippers were a better put-together team and that the Lakers would be a work in progress, and the finals results showed that was a lie. I don't have time for these shenanigans, and I want my apology, and I will get them, Rich.
So this is a media audit, is what you're saying. This is an audit. O'Shea.
Oh yeah, I'm going. Wait, as a matter of fact, is my man Chris there?
He is there.
Hey, he's O'Shea, what's happening, man?
What's up, dude? So you remember back when I was promoting Godzilla King of the Monsters, and I believe your quote was, the delusional Laker fan is the best Laker fan. And then you said that the Celtics were 4 minutes away from the finals. Do you remember that?
I do. They were. I was at the game. They were 4 minutes from the finals. That's correct.
Okay, Chris, how many minutes from the finals are they now?
Well, let's see. If we backlog the six games and then the seventh against Miami. Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
Look, man.
I just remembered you the most. I get what you do, Rich. I get you poke at me, Jamal Murray, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But you're a Celtic, Chris.
I know.
You were the first person I thought of, man. I just want you to know. You.
Wow.
And look, I appreciate you admitting that Laker fans are the most annoying, and I think you're just proving my point that, like, you know, delusional, intense, annoying Laker fan is the best Laker fan. Look, it wouldn't be a rivalry if the Boston teams won all the time, so it's nice to have you guys back.
Man.
I love the enthusiasm, bro. You know, I really was hoping that LeBron would get his first title against the Celtics, but you know how disappointing they can be. So I'm just glad that he got it done. The storybook ending for Kobe was the most important thing to me. I expressed that to you guys so much. I wanted this so bad for Kobe because it just couldn't be any other team for it to be the season that we lost him and to end it this way. It's probably my second favorite championship I've ever been a part of.
All right, I'll bite. What's the first?
Oh, for sure, Kobe beating Boston. What are you talking about? Remember the last time the Celtics were in the finals and they lost to the Lakers? Yeah, that was my favorite time for sure.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
So how many are you thinking now? All right, because as you know, greed is good. Greed is good. One of the best lines in movie history. Greed, for the lack of a better phrase, is good. And sports is all about being greedy. How many do you think this is the beginning of? Let's be honest. Go for it.
For sure, I know personally.
Yes.
I want two more at least out of Bron. You know, I know that it's the 17th year. I know that the Lakers, usually when you win the championship, Rich, the Lakers have won a lot of these. When you win the championship, a lot of the free agents out there on the market, it kind of adds to your team. So I'm expecting this Lakers team to be even better.
Well, they've got to be from clutch sports, though, O'Shea. It can't be just from anybody, right?
Listen, Rich Paul will get it done. I just don't.
No, he's not the general manager. No. It's Pelinka who's the general manager. O'Shea.
Yeah, all. Listen. Once we get Rich Paul to sign him to clutch. Rob, you know, once you get the live, Rob Pelinka will throw that thing in. It's a really good deal that we got going. But I want two more. I feel like I'll build the statue myself, Rich. Like if I get two more, plus it'll put Bron if I get two more, it'll put him at six. And then he wants that GOAT. He wants that GOAT without any questioning. And, of course, like, I'm a Laker, so I'm expecting superstars to come here and join. And, life is good right now. They told me that I wouldn't win it this year and I'd have a better chance next year. And so with me winning and having a better chance next year, I'm expecting more parades.
So do you get a ring? You're going to get a ring?
Obviously, bro. We're the same amount of minutes in game six. I got to get a ring, bro.
Will you have your own float in the parade?
Yeah, when we get back to parading, that'll be great. You should.
Listen, don't hype me up, guys. You already know where I'm gonna go with this. And to everybody, hold on, one more thing. To everyone who has something to say, the Lakers had to wait 10 years. 10 years is so long. I'm sorry, I'm not a Phoenix Sun. I'm sorry, I'm not a Memphis Grizzly or a Charlotte Hornet or any of these other teams. 10 years is a lifetime for a Laker. So get mad, get glad, get heavyweight trash bag. I'm sorry.
You don't really sound sorry. I'll be honest with you. I don't hear any sorry in that. I think you're just you're We're all just paying rent. You know, it's interesting because we, O'Shea Jackson Jr., a few more minutes left with O'Shea here on the Rich Eisen Show. We pulled a piece of video from a chat that I had with Kobe in 2018, just after LeBron got here, where I said to him, you know, what does LeBron need to do in order to achieve, you know, your status here in Los Angeles? I'm paraphrasing the question, but that's basically the gist of it. And Kobe's response was essentially, in the most kind way possible, to not stir anything up. Oh, you got this exchange here? Just listen to this exchange. This is great.
What do you think he needs to accomplish here in order to be viewed in a similar vein as, say, you as a Laker, Kobe?
Well, I don't know. Making the comparisons of him being viewed in a similar vein as me, I mean, that doesn't make much sense, right? I mean, I think the goal is always to win championships. No matter where you go, that's the goal. And that's his goal. That's Rob's goal. That's Magic's goal. That's Jeannie's goal. Rondo, all the guys.
So he needs to win a championship here in LA?
Why do people always say that? They say, okay, well, you need to win. And then there's this like crowd of people that are like, well, you don't need to win a champion. Well, you're asking me, you have to win championships. This is why we play. This is why we're here, is to win championships. And, you know, he wouldn't have came here if he didn't expect to win championships.
What'd you think of that? That's just dynamite, all of it, where he's just like, yeah, I don't think it's fair comparison for him to me here. And then he says, when I say, does he need to win? He goes, why do people say that? And then he basically says, it's not need, it's expect. I just loved every aspect of that. I loved all of it, just revisiting it.
He was basically Rick James on Eddie Murphy's couch. Like, how I put my foot on Eddie's. Of course I put.
I loved all of it.
Yeah, but he's right. He's absolutely right. You know, LeBron's tenure here, like, 20 years is not going to be touched. It's not going to be in the same light as Kobe. What Kobe did for Laker fans around the world, and especially in Los Angeles, is touch our spirit in a way that just cannot be duplicated. And he put a level of pride in us, in our everyday jobs. No matter what we do, we try to give that Mamba mentality. So that will never be touched. But as far as being a Laker great, it is about winning championships. I don't care how great Wilt was. If he didn't win a ring here, he's not going to be hanging up there with the rest of them. And now LeBron has his ring. I put him up there. If you give me two more, you know, we like, you're a Laker great. You're a Laker great. I'm very appreciative. All the fans that even still have something to say about LeBron James, they just don't know what's in front of them. And if you spend all your time hating, you won't be able to be appreciating. And I'm so appreciative of LeBron, his mindset. Rajon Rondo gave the Celtics their 17th and the Lakers their 17th. That's my favorite part of the rivalry for sure. This whole team, like, it's something that Laker fans, no matter how you feel about Kobe, about Bron, you better take the time and smell your flowers. And I'm going to make sure that the media gives our respect because they get to hear me until tip-off of next season. They're so lucky, Rich. They get to hear my voice for so long.
The media auditor, the tax man, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Tax man cometh.
Thanks for joining us,
love
O'Shea.
It.
I always
love
enjoy
it.
The chats. Congrats.
Of course, man. Go Lakers. And Clippers, I told you so.
Okay, there you go.
Leave me out of this.
That's called a mic drop. O'Shea Jackson Jr., everybody. That's great. That's fun.
Good time.
Oh. Again, just seeing Kobe again just hits you in the gut, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Big time.
Crazy.
And then him basically, you know.
Why does everybody say you got to win the title? That's me. You got to win the title.
Well, you're gonna win the title.
Why does anybody say need? People say, does he need to do it? He doesn't need to do it. I mean,
But he probably should do it.
Yeah, but, you know, he's, you know, it's like just that last look that he gave, too. He's like, he's coming here. He's expecting it.
Yeah.
It's like basically, you know, the Lakers. He's expecting, you know, he's not coming here if he doesn't expect it. And then he's just like comparing, you know, him to me. I mean, that's just here in L.A., right? As O'Shea said, he did it 20 years. LeBron's not going to be here 20 years. So we just heard, that's an interesting point about Rondo. He'll never play for the Knicks. Because
no, probably not.
To give the Knicks their 17th, he'll be 90.
With all the advances in medicine,
Bronny James will already be on his 6th championship.
I was just going to say.
Bronny James III will be on his 6th. I want to thank Jeff Duncan, Kyle Brandt, Dylan O'Brien, James Conner, and then O'Shea Jackson Jr. Final poll results over there, Christopher. What do you have?
Yeah, where does Le'Veon Bell end up? Patriots, 45%.
That's crazy talk.
That is crazy.
So we'll join you tomorrow when the Patriots introduce Le'Veon Bell as their new running back.
Peace.